Blog Talk Radio.
Hey,
James Bostic here, a conservative's perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Yeah, it's Tuesday. It's Patriot Nation. We do it live. It gets confusing sometimes, man. There's been a lot of things going on. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here at Blog Talk Radio on Patriot Nation Radio. And we have a recorded version of the program on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be, because some of the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio. And that's what we got going on tonight. Some of the very best, again, here on a conservative's perspective. My name is Bostic, James Bostic. And it's good to be here with you. The Supreme Court did a lot of really fantastic things last week. A lot of people don't fully understand it, as we can see on the news, and there are still some great things that could be happening. A stunning victory for the Second Amendment and its defense when the Supreme Court struck down a New York state ruling that said you had to be, you know, really, really specific in terms of the threat specified in order to get a concealed carry permit. And that was their gimmick. It doesn't matter. Unless you come in here dead or dying, you really don't have that specific a threat. And if you're dead or dying, what do you need a gun for, sport, right? So that's how that worked. And, of course, they say they struck down. They say they did this. They say they did that. They found that Roe v. Wade, the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, there is no provision in the Constitution to merit saying that there is such a thing as a right to an abortion. And they didn't say we're banning abortions, you can't get one, it's never going to happen again. No, what they said is there's nothing in the Constitution to mandate this from a federal perspective. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we're not looking at this anymore. We're going to leave this up to the individual states. And that's where our guest comes in tonight. And I'm really excited about this. And we're going to talk about states' rights. Now, unless you are a Civil War reenactor like myself, or you're an eminent historian author like our next guest, states' rights, whoopee. Nobody, but it's a very, very important thing because it has to do with the enumerated powers of the Constitution that are possessed by the federal government. All right, and enumerated, that means they're specified. There's a set limit. As powerful and all-reaching as we think the government to be, and as we see it is today, there were certain enumerated powers. And beyond those specified powers, decisions were left up to the individual states. And that's fundamentally what's going on in terms of the abortion decision. But the progressive Marxist left has ginned up, I am so sad to say, I think it was Lenin, Trotsky, one of those cats. Useful idiots. And these people that you see, Democrats, incidentally, burning down their own towns once again, they don't fully understand what's going on here. It breaks my heart to say it, but the sad truth is there's probably not going to be a shortage of abortions. I can't think of anybody since the Supreme Court has come down with this decision that hasn't gotten one that wanted one, sadly. But the abortion issue is just one issue that the Supreme Court justices in their looking at the laws have decided it transcends federal law. This is beyond our scope. We're going to return this to the states, and the individual states can look at these, and their houses of legislature can come to some kind of a decision on this. The federal government really should not have a dog in this fight, and then everybody loses their mind. Well, to set us right on this is our next guest. He is a soldier, statesman, an author, a jurist, and above all, a patriot and a man of faith. And I could probably toss in about a half dozen other superlatives there for Judge Hal Moroz. His Honor is here with us again tonight. He's been on the show a couple of times. I always like to know that I can turn to him in matters of great legal import such as this. And he was gracious enough. It was kind of short notice when I talked to him, but he was gracious enough to give us some time this evening, and we have him here right now. Your Honor, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
James, my friend, it's always an honor to be with you. Thank you for the invite.
We're glad to have you. Your thoughts on what's happened with the Supreme Court, not just in terms of abortion, but there are some very significant decisions that were made. The Second Amendment decision, abortion, praying in front of a school sporting event is now suddenly okay again, thank heavens. And there's going to be an upcoming case, West Virginia versus the EPA, that may be of pretty significant, it could be pretty important in terms of how much an agency like the EPA can regulate or transform any given industry. And in our state, that's an extractive economy, which means timber, natural gas, and coal. And it has always seemed that the coal industry and the EPA and the timber people too, fundamentally at loggerheads for a long, long time. But I would like to hear your thoughts on what's happened with the Supreme Court and talk maybe a little bit about states' rights and their historical significance to our country.
Sure, James. You know, I look at the three decisions that you just mentioned, the first one being New York's curtailment, if you will, of the Constitution, namely the Second Amendment, when they required of citizens to prove a need to carry a firearm. The Constitution doesn't allow the federal government or any state government to allow citizens to have guns only if the state blesses them to do that. That's not the case. The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed by any government, state or federal. And I think the Supreme Court came down hard on that. It was an excellent decision because it's an enumerated right in the Constitution. And that's a founding document for not only this government, but the limits on power that are exercised by this government. And then we talk about the repudiation of Roe v. Wade, the abortion opinion that was issued by the Supreme Court in 1973. James, I've argued my entire adult life, there is no provision in the Constitution that allows the killing of the unborn in America. And thank God for President Trump, because his selection of the last three Supreme Court judges, I'll tell you, have made an impact on the court. They provided a lasting legacy for President Trump, and they provide hope for America, because the court came down and said, and we have to thank Alito and Thomas, two outstanding justices who really were the architects of the opinion, who said, no, there is no enumerated right to an abortion. And this so-called created privacy right of a mother to kill her unborn child or allow the unborn child to be killed, it runs afoul of the Constitution. And James, in that, I mean, we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That includes little citizens, but the most helpless, we could argue, of all citizens in the United States. That was an abomination by the court in 1973. And I love hearing Schumer and Pelosi scream about how dare the court overturn a longstanding opinion. Well, if that's true, think of the opinions in past history that declared blacks in America being property and not human beings. Think about that for a minute. And if those decisions had not been overturned by the Supreme Court, where would we be today? And would Pelosi and Schumer be arguing that, you know, or Brown v. Board of Education? When you think of cases that provided separate but equal education for Americans based on race, would they have upheld that? Would that be their argument today? No. The sad thing is this, James, and I think we've all recognized this. I know you have, and I've heard you talk about it on your show. The fact that we have politicians, and I'm talking about Pelosi, I'm talking about Biden, Harris, Schumer, they would prefer to have judges impose laws on Americans, which is not their duty. Their duty is to interpret the Constitution. But they would impose a judge's order on Americans to substitute for what we, the people, have decided through our legislatures who create laws. The only role of a judge or a justice is to determine whether those laws created are in tune with the Constitution, both at the federal level and for state judges at the state level. So bravo to the Supreme Court. And how about that latest decision this week that said it is all right for a coach to pray on a field of competition? Wow, what a terrible thing that is, to Pelosi and company allowing a coach to actually thank God and ask for protection on his students, on his players, on this country. The Constitution and the First Amendment I'm talking about was never meant to make the government hostile to the exercise of religion. It was designed to guarantee us as Christians the ability to, for the bounty we have. It's a reason we say in God we trust, even on our currency. It's a reason that we thank God from presidents, beginning with George Washington. We thank God for what he's done for this country. Just the ability to live free, to have families, to raise those families, and know the government cannot interfere in ways that are prohibited by the Constitution. So the Supreme Court, as far as I'm concerned, they've given hope to average Americans. They've given hope that the future of this country will be decided by responsible statesmen at the local level, at the state level. And you mentioned the 10th Amendment. Isn't it a rather revolutionary idea, and it was, that we would have a government that was created by people and said in the 10th Amendment, what is not enumerated in the Constitution is prohibited by the federal government to exercise any power. And by that, I mean this. When the federal government does something that's not in the Constitution, that's an immediate red flag that says, wait a minute, that power is reserved to the states or the people, says the 10th Amendment. And we have a federal government that has gone awry. And you mentioned West Virginia and the case is looming. We have a government that's run by executive fiat. We have Biden issuing all kind of decrees. And James, we spoke about this, I think, last year. One of the saddest events in the last 2 years was the stripping away of our constitutional rights in the face of this pandemic unleashed by China on the world. You know, we had people under house arrest. We had people who were not allowed to exercise their religions in churches, prohibited from going to church. That is not the America I grew up in. It's not an America I recognize. And what happened to faith? What happened to our biblical foundations that said, do not fear? I think we overreacted. I think a part of this pandemic was designed to topple President Trump because the economy was booming.
Yes.
Things were going well. And isn't it interesting we hear all these revelations about Fauci and his financing of these Chinese labs that produce these pandemics? Just unbelievable. And I know I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but the evidence would support what I'm saying. We have unleashed, because of this pandemic and the fear introduced by members of Congress like Pelosi and Schumer, we even have elections now that are done by unvalidated ballots through the mail. And those ballots are not verified. Some jurisdictions had more ballots cast than were sent out by the state. How is that possible? It's not. And it's more reminiscent of a banana republic. And I hope the Supreme Court looks at that as well, because we're hearing a lot of things. I really like this Arizona candidate for governor. I believe her name is Carrie Lake.
Yes.
She just lays it out on the line that, you know, how can we move forward with future elections if we lack the confidence in our ability to have valid elections that can be confirmed? And I think the only way you can do that, as crazy as it sounds, go back to paper ballots, have something you can trace. And, you know, other countries do that. Why can't we do that is a good question. And I'll tell you why we can't do that, James, because there are too many special interests who have much of an interest in stuffing the ballot box. And that's a concern, because we've even seen Pelosi in the last year try to ram through an election law that basically would have gave the federal government control over all elections. I don't see that in the Constitution. And again, I have great hope in this Supreme Court. They are doing what is required of the Supreme Court. And I think back to 1957. In 1957, James, the Supreme Court said this. They removed the Ten Commandments from the classroom because one of the liberal justices, the activist justice, said that that might cause students to look upon those Ten Commandments and ponder them and even practice them. Can you imagine that? You know, thou shalt not steal, murder. You know, it boggles my mind, the lack of common sense. And I'm an attorney at law. I've been one for decades. I became an attorney after a career in the Army as an infantryman. I still believe in common sense, and I believe in the foundations of this country. And those foundations, as Washington said, as even Trump said, the last president to say this, the foundations are the Constitution and the Bible. And those are the bedrocks that I think we need to anchor as a society in. You know, we have so many people now screaming that, oh, my goodness, you know, everybody, all we're doing now is arming criminals with guns by being lax in interpreting the Second Amendment. No, criminals, believe me, as a prosecutor and a former judge, I can tell you this, criminals are going to get the guns. And they're not going to go down and fill out an application to carry a weapon. They're not going to fill out any type of federal purchase permit. What they're going to do is this. They're going to acquire those guns through any means they can. The only thing they're going to do is disarm good citizens. And that's the plan, to do that, make us sheep. And we should have learned that lesson in the last 2 years with this pandemic. What individual states have done, and no courts have challenged it, sadly, is they've stripped us of our freedoms, they've challenged our rights, and only now are we setting our feet in the ground. As of this last week, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, and we're finally taking note that, wait a minute, we do have rights, and those rights are not subject to an overreaching federal government like they did with Roe v. Wade. There is nothing in the Constitution that says a person should be allowed to murder their child before it's born. And this notion of my body, you know, my rights, keep your hands off of my body, they weren't saying that, were they, when it came to the jab or wearing a mask?
No, you had to line
yes,
up. And, you know, Judge, when you talk about that, I'm reminded when you mentioned earlier with Justice Roger Taney, and they want the three pillars of the left, I have figured out, are irony, hypocrisy, and projection.
Yes.
And you know, back during the, you know, and the slaveholding Democrat South embraced and championed states' rights as long as they were going to be able to keep their slaves through that mechanism. And now that this issue is going to come down to a states' rights issue, they want nothing to do with it. But it's the same thing.
Absolutely.
It's the same attitude. That unborn child is in their eyes no different than the slave was in Roger Taney's eyes. It's chattel. I read somewhere last week, you know, she can cherish it. It's hers. And she can cherish it and bring it to life, or she can dispose of it. And no one is able to say anything about it because it doesn't count as, you know, it's not even considered in the spectrum of humanity. And the left, and it's just their hypocrisy that everything they say and accuse you and I of wanting or ultimately trying to, and again, you speak about conspiracies. The best evidence of a conspiracy usually is its success. And these guys have been really successful in a lot of the things that they've done. But it's their ideology is bereft of humanity.
I agree. And James, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, when you talk about the hypocrisy of this. Yeah, decades ago, the left and the homosexual community and the left was crying tolerance. Just be tolerant of us. And that tolerance went from an acceptance of a certain behavior to now you have to celebrate my behavior, even if it's contrary to your religious beliefs, and to a point where they have so overreached that now they're pushing this drag queen stuff in elementary schools. And if you don't support that, you're a homophobe, you should be ostracized. Whatever happened to the movement that said we should be tolerant of different views? Well, they're intolerant of the Christian view. They're intolerant of anyone that doesn't celebrate their own deviancy. And I don't say that lightly, because the truth of the matter is they've not only gone after people who don't celebrate their lifestyle, they have damaged them, their reputations. They've damaged their ability to earn a living. They damaged their ability to exercise the rights that you and I enjoy under the Constitution. Free speech doesn't apply if you disagree with them. And that's not the American way. And these ideas have been promoted by Biden and Harris and Pelosi and Schumer. And it is, I hope, these last three decisions by the Supreme Court, I hope it's just a harbinger of what's going to happen later on this year. And I'm talking about the midterm elections in November. I do hope we finally have had enough of this left-wing agenda, and we have come to our senses and we see a big red wave. And James, you know, I think of this abortion issue as well. You know, I think reasonable people can say, you know what, if someone is raped, or the life of a mother, and I'm not even going to talk about the rape part. I'm going to talk about, since it's so infinitesimally small, the life of a mother who perhaps would die if the child was born, that very, very small number there. They have gone from let's have it rare and safe to why not have it up to the moment they would be born? Maybe even during labor, let's allow the mother to abort the baby. Or how about California with trying to pass through the legislature, giving the parents 28 days after the child is born to decide whether they're going to continue nourishing the baby? They have so pushed the envelope that it has disgusted reasonable people. They're not talking about safe and rare now. They're talking about, you know what, if I don't feel like having a baby in 8 months and 30 days, the day before I give birth, I want to be able to terminate. As if it is a foreign part of a body like a hangnail. It's not. It's a living human being. And most states have enacted laws that say, you know what, if you kill a mother who is pregnant, you have killed two people. And I think that's the right way to look at the law, because, you know, a community of scientists that find a germ on another planet would call that life. But they refuse to call a developing baby in a mother's womb life. You know, they treat it as if it was a cancer that the mother could remove at her whim. That is not the ethic of an American, and I am opposed to that. Too many people have fought and died for our Constitution, for those values, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. And your rights, as great as they are, could never be to the destruction of a fellow citizen who is living their life legally. And that's the limit of that. You can own a gun, but you can't use it to shoot innocent people. You can have free speech, but don't use free speech to harm other people in a physical way. And the old saying was, you can't yell fire in a movie theater. Those type of reasonable restraints are understood. but the left always pushes the envelope too far. Even with the destruction of our heritage in the South, they have destroyed our founders. And among the founders, you know, they're taking down Jefferson because he was a slaveholder. They're taking down Washington monuments. And I'll tell you, for all of the vitriol against Robert E. Lee, who I respect, who I love as an American, and as a military man, I can tell you this, his tactics have saved countless American lives because his tactics have been employed by the military academies, by service schools across America since the Civil War, and they have saved lives because Lee was a military genius. And little do people know, he loved the Bible. He loved the Constitution. The last thing he wanted was to turn against the federal government. But he saw a higher duty in defending Virginia because under our system of government, the states were formed to be sovereign entities. That's why we have governors. And this type of rationale that the federal government can do whatever it wants is not a part of our founding principles. It's not allowed to do whatever it wants. And that's the beauty of your show, James. And what I love about you, my friend, you do not forget our history. You reenact our history. You celebrate the good that's American. I think of, you know, forgive me for quoting the Bible, but Philippians 4:8, you know, if there's anything of virtue, anything good, dwell on those things. And there is good in America. There is good in our heritage. And you just have to look for it. And if you hate something, then everything becomes an object of hate only because we're not perfect. And that's what they've done to our founders. It's what they've done to the heroes in the South. They weren't slaveholders. Most of the individuals who died in the Civil War from the South, they were people not of well-to-do, but people who were fighting for principles. And that is not to have an overbearing federal government, to live a life that they chose to live under our form of government. And, you know, we can argue all day what the war was about. The federal government has always had a tendency to expand beyond the law. And what's the law? The law is the Constitution. Absolute power absolutely corrupts. And Biden knows this. You know, don't tell me there's not a two-tier system of justice in America. When Biden and his son are allowed to do what they did and perhaps continue to do, and that is influence peddling, the latest revelations coming about, Biden knew, and he lied about knowing what his son was about. And that's the sad thing, James. We have a president who does not have the respect of we the people. We have a president who has a cloud over his election for so many reasons. And we have a court system, unfortunately, that has so many activist judges that they have stained our judiciary. And I'm just glad that we have at least five justices on the Supreme Court of nine who are in line with our founding principles. And that's something we can celebrate and thank God for. And I thank God for the presidency of Donald Trump because he brought that about. And now he is the subject of contempt on Capitol Hill, you know, by a committee of House representatives who I believe are exercising unconstitutional powers in a witch hunt going after the president, and that president being President Trump. I don't hear a word about Biden. I don't hear a word about his son. Why is that? If it was Trump or his sons, wow, that would be plastered everywhere. President Trump has decent kids who support their father, loyal to the country and our founding principles. That's something to celebrate, my friend.
Well, and it just goes, again, it goes back to that first pillar of the progressive, the Marxist left, hypocrisy. It's been documented, Judge, 50 years with Joe Biden. He's not an honest guy. He cheated. He plagiarized speeches from Neil Kinnock, and he didn't even change the wording. He didn't even try and make it like his own. He just took it and wrote it down word for word. That's why he got thrown out of his first presidential campaign. He's never been good, and everyone knows it. I mean, the work that Pete Schweizer did was all open sourced. Everybody that's looked into these things, there's no question about it. And yet, because of this complicitous and duplicitous establishment media, they just shuffle their papers and they stare off in the distance and they tell us that you know, because the Supreme Court has struck down the ruling on Roe v. Wade, that we're back to back alley abortions and all women are going to die and nobody's going to ever get an abortion. Like I said at the beginning, there's not going to be a shortage of abortions. They use these things to distract, to disrupt, to spread divisiveness, all in the attempt to unravel the threads of our societal tapestry. They attack the police. They attack first responders. They look at the judicial system, and they've worked as hard as they can to turn it into something that's going to be almost beneficial to the criminal. And through these things, and in the education system as well, they've spread this toxin, and hopefully what you're saying and what we see with these Supreme Court rulings is perhaps the sleeping giant is beginning to awaken. And that may prove to be a fearful thing.
Yes, sir. I do hope that, James. The most amazing part about this is, you know, we have a media in America that has no resemblance to the press that our founders protected and respected in the First Amendment, that being the freedom of the press. The press today is a propaganda arm, unfortunately, by and large, for the Democrat Party. And that would cause our founders, I believe, to turn over in their graves. And the lies being spewed, such as, well, abortions are now illegal across America. And so you have rioting in California and New York. Now, those two states are unaffected. In fact, they're inviting other states to bring their pregnant people there so they can kill their unborn. What kind of depravity do we have in these Democrat-controlled states? It is off the charts. And the lies are not challenged by our media, unfortunately.
No.
But there is a challenge, James, and that's you. I hear you, you know, with your broadcast, you challenge those narratives. Thank God for you, my friend. And that's why I'm always proud to come on your radio station, James. You tell it like it is, my friend. And I always feel, and I believe your listeners feel it as well, I always feel like I'm talking to a wise friend across a dining room table or a kitchen table. It's common sense. It's hope for our country. It's hope for our personal lives and the future of our children and our grandchildren. That's what you promote, and I love you for it, my friend. I love you on Facebook. I love hearing you, because when you're delving in this type of debauchery, when we hear the news today, we begin to lose hope. And I think that's a part of the plan as well. We need to listen, you know, to James Bostic. We need to listen to the voices of reason out there. So, my friend, I love you. I can never turn you down when you invite me on, because you inspire me, and you need to know that. You inspire the people who listen to this this show every week.
Well, that's the kind words, Judge, and I appreciate them very, very much. You know, Barry Goldwater, I think it was Barry Goldwater, once said that the price of peace is constant vigilance. And I got to thinking about how that was a very prescient comment to make, because it transcends, and everybody takes it for foreign policy. You know, it's a reference towards foreign policy. But beyond that, I mean, the price of peace in your hometown is constant vigilance. Being
yes.
vigilant on who's your school boards, on who's on your county commissions and your city councils. It's being vigilant as to who you're putting into your state houses of legislature. Because when you go there and you maintain peace through constant vigilance on those levels, everything else will fall into place.
Yes, sir. I agree. You know what, James? One positive byproduct of this pandemic was parents began watching what their
yes.
children were learning online at these schools, and they rebelled. It was contrary to what they knew was right. The government dumping this propaganda on children who don't know better. And what was the result of the federal government? Well, you had the Attorney General basically declare parents who were interested in what their children were being taught and went to school board meetings,
right.
labeled as terrorists and people who needed to be monitored. Where do you see that in the Constitution? I don't. We the people
don't.
Is the very essence of what the Constitution is about. People taking responsibility for their own children, for the children's education, for developing as far as their God-given talents will allow them to develop. That's the America I know. Not this welfare state,
yes.
not the open borders that you bring people and bring us everybody and we'll put them on the government dole and we'll bankrupt the country. No, that was never a plan of anybody who was a founder of our country or cared about our country, but it is a Marxist idea of, you know what, the government can take care of all things, and it's more important than the individual. No, the individual
no.
in America is more
exactly.
important than the government.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been having a terrific conversation with a longtime friend of the program. His Honor, Judge Hal Moroz, is with us. And you've been, as usual, Judge, you're always so gracious with your time and generous. I have one last thing I want to talk about before I turn you loose, because I know you probably even had dinner and you probably need to decompress and take a look at some other things. Attorney General Merrick Garland and his response to what has happened in terms of the threats, and I believe they were very existential threats, to the security of the Supreme Court justices.
Well, James, I'll tell you, I thank God that Obama's last pick for the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland,
right.
was not confirmed by the Senate. And you know what? As much as I can tell you bad about Mitch McConnell, he did a good job in stopping that confirmation. And I will always be appreciative to him on that, because Garland is a disgrace. After these decisions, the president came out and attacked, and I'm talking about Joe Biden, came out and attacked the
yes.
Supreme Court. There were calls for violence from people like Maxine Waters and that Ocasio-Cortez in New York
right.
that were seditious. You know, talk about an insurrection. January 6th was nothing compared to this terroristic, violent threats against the Supreme Court and the members of the
yeah.
court. Since when does the legislature of any civilized country go after the judicial branch like that? Never, because you're inciting violence. But yet, is Garland taking up the banner of even providing security? How about the protests in front of these Supreme Court houses? Now, I heard the argument saying, you know what, they have the freedom to assemble. They have the freedom of speech. These protesters who are throwing paint at their homes and hurling threats at them. No, you don't have that. And there are special provisions in the federal law, which are constitutional, that say, no, you cannot intimidate judges as you would in a banana republic and force them to bend their will and not follow the Constitution because you don't like it. This is not a country where the loudest person who's screaming gets their way. And it's not a country of mob rule either. As much as the left would like that to be, it is not. We are a civilized country. And Garland has breached his duty to enforce the law. And that is his law as the Attorney General to follow. And that is to provide security for these Supreme Court justices and arrest these degenerates walking around their homes with their phony fetuses and hurling threats and damaging property. That is not allowable under the law. And he's failed to act. And if you notice, Congress, too, was very hesitant to provide any type of security for the judicial branch. And, James, to be honest with you and completely upfront with you, the judicial branch is not a police state branch. You know, they have very little internal security. They rely on the executives in the federal government, and that being the Attorney General, to have law enforcement that provides a security to them, that allows them, and that's the reason they're appointed to lifetime terms, so they don't have to appease a certain special interest every 4 or 6 years and subject their opinions to change according to the will of a few special interests. It's not like that. They are there to adhere to the Constitution and make sure the law based on the Constitution is followed. So I got a lot of problems with Garland. He needs to be impeached, but you know who really needs to go? Biden and Harris, they need to go. And I think they will go. You know, my prayer is this: in November, the Congress will change, but not only to the Republican Party, but to principled people who believe
Thank
in the
you.
Constitution
yes.
and follow it. You know, I think of some Republicans, you can think of Mitt Romney and others.
Yeah.
Who
there's a boatload.
Yes, sir. They are. And, you know, they go by the popular term RINO, right? Republican in name
right.
only. I don't even know what Republicans are anymore. But I do know what a conservative is. I do know what a constructionalist is when it comes to the Constitution. And I prefer them over any political name. Too much rhetoric. Let's yeah. see some action on behalf of these people. And that's why I do have favorites in the Congress. You know, I love that Lauren Boebert in Colorado. I think of Georgia's own member of Congress, the female, and James, you know who I'm talking about.
Oh.
She's in Northwest Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That's Congresswoman Green,
Marjorie Taylor Green, yes. Yes.
Yes, sir.
She was at Rock the Red. And
yes,
you know,
sir.
Jim Jordan's another good one.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
That's the problem. And you nailed it when you said principled people, statesmen. Because and I've been beating this drum for a while now, because every talk radio show you hear, November's coming. It's gonna be and that's great. November is coming and we need to be ready. But if we're gonna wind up putting the same kind of guys in that we're voting out, we have not accomplished anything, and that brings us back to the doctrine of constant vigilance.
Yes, absolutely. Sir, you are the man. That is exactly, and you're right. You know, the change is not only in the Congress, the change is in our states. You know, there is no level of elected official that's unimportant. These school board members are critical. The mayors are critical. The city council, the county commission, all are critically important. And they're the sounding board of the individuals in that community. And it's supposed to be that way, and it's designed to be that way. But today, it's the top down. What Biden says is the law. He's the king. He sees himself as that. And he's not. He never will be. He never was. And we need to get Congress that can check him and his power. The Supreme Court did it this last week, and I applaud them for that. But we need three distinct and separate branches of government, and we've not had that. The judiciary has not stepped in with all of these abuses of our rights during this pandemic. And only now are they correcting long-held problems. You know, praying should never be something attacked by the government, and it has been. You know, the Ten Commandments should not be something attacked by the government. They should be heralded as American values and principles for our country. That's what America is all about, and we've gone astray, my friend, and we need to correct that course, and I hope we are on that road.
Well, yeah, they just and go back to the Declaration. These people on the left, these people that we're talking about, and I hate to put it in an us and them thing, but we've been polarized to that point. These things that you and I see, that these are not the truths that they see to be self-evident. We grew up this way, Judge, you and I and many folks like us. And we understand these things. And it's the American way is not a cliche. It's been turned into one. But the American way walks hand in hand with American exceptionalism. We are a unique country among all the other countries on the face of the earth. We weren't based on a race of people. We weren't based on lineage or heritage from the royal family. Everybody came here, and everybody came here for one reason, because this was the place to go.
Yeah, James, you nailed it, my friend. That is absolutely right. What is wrong with America first? Nothing. You know, if you don't have love of your family, how can you expect them to be respected, to be treated right, even by you, if you don't love your family? If you don't love your country, if you're not willing to fight for it, if you're not willing to defend its borders, you know, I love the arguments of the folks who say, no, we don't take down the wall that Trump built along the southern border. Would they be that free to open the doors in their mansions? Remove the doors, let anybody come in? No. If Pelosi has a wall around the property. Biden has a wall around his beach home. Isn't that interesting that, you know, what's good for them is not good for us? Because, in effect, we are peasants, right? And they are the royalty in this country. No, never meant to be that way. And we need to take this country back.
I think we're headed in the right direction, Judge. I honestly do. I hope it's not too little, too late. I hope that it starts, you know, one spark can start a fire. Ladies and gentlemen, Judge, thank you once again for being here. We've been talking with Judge Halmarose. It's just a terrific conversation, and I only planned on keeping you about a half hour, Judge, but we've burned it up, man, and that's I know we do that sometimes, and that's fine with me. You know that you have a home here in terms of the forum if you've got something. And by the way, what's looming on the horizon for Judge Halmarose?
Sir, who knows what the future holds? If I told you I was running again for the Georgia Supreme Court, I'd have to declare my candidacy. We'll see, sir, what's ahead. But I do believe we have a duty to fight for our country, to be involved in politics, and yes, when the time comes, to stand in the gap in elected office. And I don't believe in career politicians. I do believe that everyone should sacrifice, not only for their families, but for a common good. And I'm not talking about, you know, communism. I'm talking about love of your community. I'm talking about love of your family. I'm talking about putting America first. So, sir, I will always be in that fight. My pastor, Dr. Charles Stanley from Atlanta, Georgia, he says no one ever retires who's a Christian. So, sir, I know you and I will continue to fight that good fight in the years ahead. No fight being greater than the one we fight today for our country and our community. So, James, I love you, my friend, and I love your audience, and I so appreciate your voice in this cause.
Well, we love you too, Judge, and as I said, you have a home here, and it won't be so long before we get you back. I promise that. God bless you, sir. Take good care, and if you see anyone in Fiducia anywhere down there, be sure and tell them I said hello.
Yes, sir. Will do. God bless you, my friend, and God bless America.
All right. Man, that was I always look forward to having the judge on. I really do. He's just such a great guy, and he's such a wellspring of information. And we're going to make sure to get him back. That was Judge Helmrose. Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break, and we will be back with more of a conservative perspective right after this brief musical interlude. Talk to you in a minute. Maybe. Come on, man. Okay.
Fly like birds on high, then straight to earth. and some of the work gets kind of hard. And this ain't no place to be if you plan on being a star. Let me tell you, it's always cool. And the boss don't mind sometimes if you act the fool at the car wash. Come on, y'all, and sing it for me.
Car wash.
Woo, woo, woo.
Car wash, yeah. Work and work.
Well, those cars never seem to stop coming.
Work and work.
Keep those bags and machines coming.
Work and work.
My fingers to the bone.
Work.
Keep out, I can't wait till it's time.
How was that for a change up? Yeah, Bobby Darin and Somewhere Beyond the Sea to Car Wash. By, who did Car Wash? Now, I know. Well, I bet you guys don't know. Gary knows. I know Gary knows. Okay, time's up. Rolls Royce, man. Okay? Not Rolls. Not Rolls Royce without Rolls Royce. R-O-S-E Royce. I saw that movie. Okay, like this is a great 70s story. There's a community somewhere on Facebook it's called Growing Up in the 1970s. And it's cool. There's a lot of old farts like me. Yep, Gary, I knew it. Gary Benford, my brother from another mother, the superstar. Just Rolls Royce, he got it. Yeah, absolutely. I knew he would. So it's 1975, I guess, 76, and me and my buddy from next door, Mike Odell, he's a great guy, I mean, friends to this day. I love him so much. We went to the Beckley Theater, and it was a double feature. And we was a double feature, double date with a couple of the teeny boppers du jour. I don't know who they were. I can't remember their names. It was a couple of chicks he knew from Stratton. He went to Stratton Junior High School. I went to Shady Spring High School. He was a bulldog. I was a tiger man. El Tigre. You hear that, Brownie? El Tigre. Anyway, it was a double feature, and it was this movie, Car Wash, and there were a lot of great people in it. Franklin Ajayi was in it. Richard Pryor was in it. Ivan Dixon was in it. And a lot of these great character, you know, these black and Latino character actors from the mid-70s, you saw them everywhere. You saw them on Starsky and Hutch. You saw them on Beretta. And it was just a great ensemble comic piece. And there was another movie, Mother Jugs and Speed. And that was Harvey Keitel, Bill Cosby, Larry Hagman, and Raquel Welch. Hubba hubba. And it was weird. It was about the life and times of this ambulance company, and Gary sending a picture. Yep, there. Okay, yeah, we got Franklin Ajayi there. We got Garrett Morris, that the guy in the background. I've seen him in a million things. Classic 70s actors, and a lot of talent in that movie. So I can't even remember where I was going with this story, but anyway, that movie. Was we went to go see that at the Beckley Theater with these two chicks, and it was great. But I mean, they were good pictures. I forgot it was. You hear stuff like that, or I'll play something like it's these songs that I've got on here. Some of them I don't even remember putting on, but and it's almost like a touchstone. It's like time traveling almost. Okay. In case you guys missed it, we just had a terrific. I mean, a barn-burning conversation with our friend Judge Hal Morose from the great state of Georgia. Hal is the Supreme Court. I don't know. Did we get kind of like a halfway sneak preview, kind of maybe possible scoop there when he was talking about? He wasn't actually talking about it. But there was somehow we wound up on the avenue of another run for the Georgia State Supreme Court. But we don't know. So I'm not going to say anything. But that was kind of exciting. But he's a great guy. He's a remarkably smart dude. And you know my commitment to you guys is you got to listen to me enough as it is. So if I'm going to bring in somebody, we may as well bring in somebody that knows what the hell they're talking about. So we got a little bit of balance there, all right? And that's why I get guys like Mike Cutler and Trevor Lopez and Claire – or Trevor Lopez, Trevor Loudon. I was almost going to say Trevor Howard, but Trevor Loudon and Claire Lopez. And I need to make some outreach to those guys and get them on here. But anyway, that's what's been going on. And like I said, I always love having the judge on because – he's a great guy, smart dude. And like I said, we got to have smart dudes on here because otherwise there's not going to be any balance to this program. Well, let's see. I had the – let me – what we got? We got a little bit of time left. I was going to do 2 hours, but we're not. We're going to do an hour and a half because, hey, I'm 100 years old. I can do whatever I want. And if I feel like it's America, damn it. If I feel like doing a 90-minute show, my God, I'll do it. These people, I want to talk about this stooge fest in the January 6th hearings, okay? There was some Cassidy, I think is her first name, Hutchison, and she was some kind of low-level gopher there in the West Wing, and she's saying all these crazy things. You know, they're so hot. They are so just hard to get Donald Trump, man, and then what you're doing is the same thing they always do. If we throw enough cocky duty on the wall, some of it's going to stick. So this Hutchison girl says he threw food on the wall. The Donald Trump on January 6th, he was pissed off the way things were going. He threw food on a wall, and he tried to commandeer the presidential steering wheel on the presidential limo on January 6th. I guess he was going to floorboard it and run up the steps to the Capitol and just stop this whole thing from happening. I don't know. But anyway, so they come up with these outlandish stories. The lead Secret Service agent's going to testify, no, she's an idiot. It didn't happen. It didn't try to come to her. None of that happened. These people are nutbags. Somebody ought to make them shut up. I don't know. Or words to that effect. That's probably what I would say. I would have thought, but you know what? Here, just you want to bring the supply chain issue, the logistics problems, the bottleneck on the supply chain issue into real true focus. All right. If Pete Buttigieg edge were worth his salt, he would have figured out some way. And there's a way to solve this thing. They just don't want to do it, and it's all intent. It appears like fecklessness and ineptitude and incompetence. And I think in some places, feckless, inept, and incompetent people were strategically placed. Come on, man. But there is an intent, and it is a malicious and malevolent intent. One of the primary reasons that I understand that you guys keep this under your hat, and I'm not going to tell you where I heard it. Just, anyway, if Buttigieg hadn't screwed up the supply chain deal, if he could have got this problem solved, then the microchips necessary to activate Disney's animatronic Joe Biden would have been installed, and we wouldn't be going through what we're going through now. I really don't know if there's anything else to say after that. I mean, really. Oh, JoJo. JoJo is, he's, man, I don't know what his deal is. Well, yeah, we know what his deal is.
And I don't know, and I know where the judge was going, or at least I think I know where the judge was going. When he was talking about the change coming in November, you know, with Congress changing us. Again, at this point, and I haven't checked it in a few weeks, it could be more, but there are at least 31 Democratic congressmen and senators, representatives and senators that are saying, nah, you know what, I think this is a good time for me to hang out with the fam. Do a little camping, do a little fishing. Maybe go down and celebrate gay days at Disney or something. Yeah, just get out. I don't think I'm going to be in Washington much anymore. So yeah, but then again, by the same time, you can't underestimate the ability of rhinos like Mitch McConnell and I'm trying to think of the other guy's name now. I can't. Anyway, the you know who I'm talking about. They don't underestimate their potential to screw things up, to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. Okay, don't underestimate their ability to look like that dude. You remember the ski jump dude? The last clip they would show on the intro to ABC's Wide Wide World of Sports. That's a Republican Party. They can do that all day long. They don't even need snow to do that. Agony of defeat. El Tigre. Hadn't thought about the Tiger Man in a while. Well, let's see what we got. It can't be overstated. And I really do mean this. What happened with the Supreme Court in upholding and you know, serving as a bulwark to protect our Second Amendment rights, with what they did by remanding the abortion issue back to the states, to the individual states, with saying it's okay to go out and pray to God that this game's going to be clean and nobody's going to get hurt and everybody's going to get, you know, it's going to be all right. There's nothing wrong with those things. And again, those things, those ideas, along with so many cliched or what the left would consider stereotypified ideas of the American way of life, Those are the threads that run through our social tapestry, and they want to unravel that. Okay, that's why they're saying men can have babies. That's what they're saying. Now you know the difference about this, and so do I. But that's what they're saying, and there are people out there that are going to act like they believe it. Hell. In some of these, with some of these useful idiots, with some of these people I've been seeing screaming up and down that less children are going to die. We're on the other side of the looking glass, people. And like I said, we've got to stop it. And if we don't stop it now, when? Because I don't know. We may not ever get another chance. Chief Justice Roger Taney came up with the 3/5 decision. And what that meant was that one slave was the equal of 3/5 anybody else. And that they were chattel. That if the slave owner moved to another place and the slave didn't want to go, the slave was going to go anyway because he didn't have any say-so in it. He's a slave. And in the North, the abolitionist movement sets in and they start petitioning the government, the federal government, to abolish slavery. The Southern slaveholding Democrats lose their minds and they say, oh, no, That is not one of the enumerated powers of the federal government. That is an issue that will remain within the purview of the states. Slave-owning Democrats, okay, love states' rights right before the Civil War. They loved them. There's nothing like it. It was the greatest thing on earth. And now let's just fast forward. The irony is now they still treat the unborn child as chattel or as property. Again, it is the woman's to cherish and bring the pregnancy to term or to dispose of as she wishes. Much like a slave. But now, all of a sudden, that this issue is going to be remanded to the states, states' rights are an anathema to the slave-holding Democrats. And you don't think Democrats aren't holding slaves today? Antifa, BLM. Take a look around Maxine Waters' constituency, her district that she represents. Now, though, the slave-holding Democrat Party hates states' rights. It is an anathema to them. It's horrible. Can't be done. Well, here's another question for you. Roe v. Wade has been, we're going to say, considered precedent since 1970, 50 years. Now, in that 50 years, how many times have the slave-holding Democrats had the majorities in the houses and the Senate to codify abortions as law? That shouldn't be a tough one to figure. I should Google it. How many times, you know, since 1973, how many Democrat Congresses have there been? Democrat majority Congresses have been. And they could have done it. So why didn't they? If they would have done that, none of this would be, it'd be a moot point. Couldn't be done. Nothing would be said because it would be codified into law. There would be fights to try and overturn it, but it wouldn't be based on Roe v. Wade or the Boggs decision, whereas this was, and that's why it was overturned. It was seen as bad law. It was seen as a bad decision. And all these purple-haired, nose-ring-wearing babes with underarm hair and small breasts with no bras, yeah, it is your body, okay? I understand that. And you say that men don't have a say-so in the abortion issue. Let me remind you that it was six men in 1973 that made this decision. There were no women on the Supreme Court, children. Sandra Day O'Connor wasn't called up to the Supreme Court and approved until 1981. So, yeah. Rich old men. And they said it was okay. But the thing is this, and this is what I think. The people who foment these useful idiots to go out and protest the Supreme Court decision on Roe v. Wade, and the same people who protest every time a cop shoots a black guy, whether it's justified or not, even if it's a black guy, a cop shooting a black guy. If it's a cop shooting a black guy, it doesn't matter if the cop's black or white. It's just got to be a cop. So a blue guy shoots a black guy. They don't care about that either. They don't care about transphobia. They don't care about homophobia. They don't care about these people. They don't care about these issues. What they care about is being able to control the minds of these vapid, juvenile, intellectually immature, and easily influenced people to do their bidding in order to maintain their control. They don't care about the Green New Deal. They don't give two shits about the snail darter. They could care less. Just like they could care less if every kid in the country was aborted or no kid in the country was aborted. doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is their control over these useful idiots who will buy into this stuff and will go out and create property damage, create physical damage, property violence, physical violence on people, you know, on you and me. I and you, sorry. Who are those people? You know who they are. You don't have to dig deep. You don't have to look very far. Again, like I said, sometimes the best and most compelling evidence of a conspiracy is its success. A couple of things I'm going to leave you with. If I can find it, damn it. Okay, yeah, a couple of things I'm going to leave you with. Here's the first one.
America is a land of heroes, a place where greatness is born, where destinies are forged, and where legends come to life. This is the home of Thomas Edison and Teddy Roosevelt, of many great generals, including Washington, Pershing, Patton, and MacArthur. This is the home of Abraham Lincoln, Frederick Douglass, Amelia Earhart, Harriet Tubman, the Wright brothers, Neil Armstrong, and so many more. This is the country where children learn names like Wyatt Earp, Davy Crockett, and Annie Oakley. This is the place where the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth and where Texas Patriots made their last stand at the Alamo. The American nation was carved out of the vast frontier by the toughest, strongest, fiercest, and most determined men and women ever to walk on the face of the earth. Our ancestors braved the unknown, tamed the wilderness, settled the Wild West, lifted millions from poverty, disease, and hunger, vanquished tyranny and fascism, ushered the world to new heights of science and medicine, laid down the railroads, dug out the canals, raised up the skyscrapers. Our ancestors built the most exceptional republic ever to exist in all of human history, and we are making it greater than ever before. This is our glorious and magnificent inheritance. We are Americans. We are pioneers. We are the pathfinders. We settled the new world. We built the modern world. And we changed history forever by embracing the eternal truth that everyone is made equal by the hand of Almighty God. America is the place where anything can happen. America is the place where anyone can rise. And here, on this land, on this soil, on this continent, the most incredible dreams come true. This nation is our canvas, and this country is our masterpiece. We look at tomorrow and see unlimited frontiers just waiting to be explored. Our brightest discoveries are not yet known. Our most thrilling stories are not yet told. Our grandest journeys are not yet made. The American age, the American epic, the American adventure has only just begun. Our spirit is still young. The sun is still rising. God's grace is still shining. And my fellow Americans, the best is yet to come.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys the nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. And there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belt and radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Okay. Two vastly different clips. If you want the first one, thank you, Penelope. If you want the first one, you want to reclaim the first one? You want to get back to that? You got to be the second one. Because that's the first step. That's all the time we got, guys. We're here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The recorded version of the program, of course, Sundays, 4 p.m. Thank you, Penelope. 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Sunday on the Mojo 50 Radio Network. That's all the time we've got. Special thanks again. What's going out to his honor, Judge Helmer Rose. Thanks again, Judge. I really appreciate you being here. You guys take good care of yourselves. That's all the time we've got for ACP. We'll be back here on Thursday taking a look at things as we do. So a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. 30 seconds. Oh, she didn't say it. Okay, God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you then.